Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 193 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Birchall.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
As always, it's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts and what we discuss on the podcast are just our own personal views, although we do look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford it, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew.
Right, a little bit of news we've seen, and everybody would have seen it if you're on multimedia, that Jamie and Amanda in Strand Camping in Doonbeg have their campsite up for sale as a going concern, and we just want to wish them the best in their endeavours when they, I'm assuming it's for retirement, so when they retire and go travelling, and fingers crossed they get a quick sale, because it will be a good buy to anybody who wants to buy an up and running established campsite.
Yeah, and it's one of the highly regarded campsites in the country as well, in terms of what they offer to the guests and visitors, you know.
And you know what, it's a beautiful size. I think if somebody wanted to start off in this game, it's not too big, it's not too small. But we want to wish them the best. Jamie and Amanda, Strand Camping in Doonbeg. And keep in touch with us, guys. We know you're regular listeners to the podcast. And let us know when you're moving on and we will be there for the going away party.
We have some online chatter there from Jason at Limerick Air and Campsite.
Yeah, Jason has been on. I chat to Jason quite regularly on Instagram, but he was on just to say that Jason from Limerick Air and Campsite, unfortunately, the builders has informed him over the past couple of weeks that their new toilet and shower block won't be completed for the St. Patrick's weekend, which was hoping to be the official opening. It's now going to be June 1st. At the earliest, which is a bit of a disappointment. And also they're doing a lot of ongoing work on the ground. So the grass pitches are out. Well, look, the weather isn't great for tent camping anyway, but the grass pitches won't be available also until the June bank holiday weekend. But the site is still open. Now, we have done one video review and I can't wait to go back, because when I was there, it was literally just in air. And in June, it will be a campsite and air. I just want to remind people, if you watch the YouTube video on Charlie and Me's YouTube channel, there's a lot of negative comments. There's a lot of positive comments, but equally, there are negative comments. We don't delete them. You're entitled to your opinion. Just bear in mind, if you're heading down to Limerick Air and Campsite, it's an ongoing project at the moment. I know the new area has gone in for the grey water. There's new cement pathways gone in around the electrical power point. So just bear in mind, it's not a completed campsite or air as yet. It is open, it is functioning, and it is still worth the trip. But gosh, come June and July of 2024, we can't wait to get back down and do a new review of the finished complex.
Yeah, and I think the guys there are being kind of clever. They're just building it out slowly, adding the extra bits on as they go along. It's a massive thing for a business just to come and bring everything in at day one.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that it's been successful, and it certainly looks like it is. So we wish them all the best with it.
Now, listeners' messages, follow-ups and shout-outs. We have a question about electrical issues from a listener in Cork.
Yeah, so I got an email from a listener that didn't want the name released. So just said, look, I have an inquiry regarding motorhome electric faults. Any idea of people who can repair these? The van is a conversion which was done in Clare. They returned it back there, but they weren't able to find any faults. So as I said, they're located in Cork, so looking for an electrics repairer in Cork. Basically, they switched on the lights and then turned on the water for the kettle, and an alarm went off and it caused the electric to fail. So they just want to check it out, make sure it's all safe, get it back working again. It could be a short or something there. We're not 100% sure, but that was as much details as were given. So look, if anyone can recommend a repairer in Cork, we'll certainly pass that back on to the listener.
Yeah, and it can be something so simple. And the fact that there was no fault found the first time, it's obviously an intermittent fault. So it might not happen for weeks. And then again, it might happen every time you turn on the lights. So we need to try and get a list and compile a list. It's very hard. And it comes up regular between Charlie and me and the podcast, people saying, do you know anybody who can fix blah, blah, blah. So it'd be nice to know if we could get a list of people. And like that as well, a lot of the people who do repairs are so, so busy. They're just not taking on new work. But if you're in the Cork area, if you know somebody in or around the county of Cork, please do let us know, and Chris will pass it on to that person. We'll try and get their electrics sorted out. Gary Maloney was on following up on an episode.
Yeah, Gary says, hi lads, Following up on some of the content of your last podcast, we went camping over Christmas for a week in the van in Kinsale in Garrettstown. It was great to be out and about every day. Apart from one very windy night, it was all good. It was our best Christmas for quite a while. I would highly recommend it. Chris, you said you wanted to do some more work on your van. I'm trying to build my knowledge also, and he said YouTube is your friend here. For me, the three-bay fridge would not ignite. After dropping €200 to get this sorted and then stopped after a month, I went at it myself. I bought a new ignition cable on Charles Camping and installed it, and hey presto, done. I also made up new drawers that need replacing. I did those myself. I don't mind getting the service and habitation check done by experts. We'll try to do all the small jobs myself. Happy camping in the new year, Gary. So that's a good mail from Gary and a bit of encouragement, you know, check the job. Sometimes they're not as big or as daunting as you think. There could be simple fixes.
And YouTube, he's right. YouTube is your friend. It's very seldom if you put something into YouTube that you won't get an answer. But remember with YouTube, it's not people telling you how to. It's just usually them telling you how they do.
Yeah,
because I said that all through the van build. It's not a how-to video. It's just, hey, if we can help you out, maybe this video will be of help. But thanks for that, Gary.
If anybody has any recommendations of YouTube channels where they give kind of repair tips and how-to tips for motorhomes and caravans and campervans, we'd love you to share them with us as well, and we'll pass them on to the listeners.
It's another list that we can compile as well as the people who service them. Declan was on. He said, hi guys, I'm a newbie to caravanning and I purchased, and I think it's called, is it a Panini Pathfinder, a folding camper? There seem to be a rarity in Ireland and it's hard to find people who have them. If you or any of your listeners have any advice on how to make sure we get off to a good start, I would be very, very grateful. We're a family of four, two boys under five. Kind regards from Declan. I run, I hike, I swim, I run, I swim, I hike. Didn't they have a camping trailer? And then they have since moved on to a motorhome.
Yeah, they had a Conway Countryman.
Yes.
You know, I suspect there's probably some good Facebook groups out there as well for people with those fold-out,
yes,
kind of pop-up.
Either campers, trailers or caravans, because you can get a pop-up caravan as well.
They're rare enough in Ireland, but I'm sure there's a little niche group out there. So if anybody knows, Van, you might share, we'd pass it on to Declan. Or just any little tips or advice for somebody getting into the first time and maybe the best way to pack, or, you know, maybe the types of chairs that might fit in better, or how to maintain the fabric and keep it pristine as well and extend the life of them too. You know, that's really
and bear important. In mind that they have two boys under 5 years old as well, so maybe activities or stuff to bring. And but camping trailers are brilliant. I mean, we had one when we were kids, and we're going back 40 years now, and we had a Conway and it was absolutely fantastic. And it's better than a tent, but yet you get the whole tenting experience. Campsites and stopovers. Now, you were away for the weekend, being a bit of a Bear Grylls, I believe.
Yeah, we're doing a bit of real camping, what we call it, Aaron, in a tent. One of the lads, you might have heard him on the podcast a few times, Ross was part of our camping crew, the group we go away with. He runs a forest school up in North County Dublin, kind of Mead area. The forest school is called Free Range Outdoor Education. So we were up with them on a bushcraft weekend, for want of a better word. We spent all day Saturday learning about a firecraft when you're out camping, making fire, you know, if your matches get wet. And
yeah, is that like rubbing sticks? Did you light a fire without matches and a lighter? Is that what that's about?
Yeah. So
and
they start
did you
off,
do
you can use the ferro rods, and then you can do your stick rubbing, as you like to call it, Aaron, and create a spark, and then it's passed the spark on, and eventually.
And did you physically light a fire without a match or a lighter?
Yes, and I have the evidence to prove it as well, Aaron.
Cool.
on the Sunday, then we did like kind of campcraft, and you know what to do in certain situations. Say you break 10 pegs, making 10 pegs, or you want to, you could just bring a blade, for example, a saw blade.
Yeah,
and just make your own handsaw with the blade, so you don't have to carry it with you. Or little kind of, it's all woodcraft and kind of carving and that kind of stuff as well. It's really interesting, well worth doing. And we camped out in the forest then in our small kind of one-man tents then overnight as well. And the weather wasn't too bad. We had a bit of rain overnight, a bit of rain during the day, but everyone was kitted out. Most of the lads actually stayed in hammocks that weekend as
no
well
way.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Definitely recommend it. I know they do a lot of for a school during the summer for schools and and that, you know, camps. That's the word I was looking for. A lot of kind of kid camps as well. Brilliant. You could check it out on fro.ie. Sorry, froe.ie. Right. And Ross runs that. On the weekend we were up, we had an Irish chap called Joe Price. He's living over in Sweden now, near the Norway border. He has an outdoor education school and all that as well, a chap called Joe Price. He's on YouTube, actually. Loads of really great bushcraft videos up there at youtube.com. Just do a search for In Forests and Lands, and you'll find his YouTube channel there. Really good, but hardcore bushcraft stuff now, like, you know. Yeah,
it's Bear Grylls stuff. It's learning how to build your own tent,
so, yeah.
Your own covers, your light. But you physically lit a fire without a match and without a lighter.
Yeah, on several occasions, Aaron, yeah.
That's mad, Ted. You know, the next time we're going to go camping, you better bring some of this stuff. Because I know a few years ago I met Ross in Corky Park and he was with his kids and he was collecting some kind of plant. That when it dries, he was getting ready for one of his courses, but when this stuff dries, it's great for lighting fires.
Yeah.
And without bursting his bubble, about 2 years ago, I did a photo shoot of him with one of the kids' camps, and there must have been 30 kids, and it was brilliant. He made them put a rope across a stream. They had to learn how to build their own little teepee. They had to learn how to carve knives and forks out of bits of wood. It was a fantastic weekend. But it lashed rain on the Sunday, the day of the firecraft. And it was very hard to get the fires going, but they did. But it's froe.ie for Ross's End. And if you go to YouTube, In Forest and Lands for Joe Price, I was watching some of his videos today. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty serious stuff. All right. So Charlie Meir, you had a Q&A recently.
Q&A went very well. We got some great questions. And based on that, I'm actually recording a couple of videos tomorrow and over the weekend for next Wednesday. I'll just give you a quick rundown of what I want to do. One of the people, Teresa Ann McCormick, got onto me via Instagram and saying, could I just do, and we spoke about this before, some videos of the electrics. For example, a friend of hers, their electrics kept tripping in the camper. They never knew that they actually had an ESB trip box. So she said, could you just do simple things like if the mains goes, where to check for your ESB box, what to do, right down to, we've often mentioned, every twice a year, check your cable, you know, check the terminals on your cable. So it was a good Q&A. I enjoyed it. It went on for about 20 minutes. The video is up on our YouTube channel and I will do a couple of follow-up videos over the next couple of Wednesdays of small things. One of the things she wants to know is how to clean out your tank for winterizing and how to just keep it clean, your wastewater tank. So we're going to do them as well. Hope to get out camping. We're off to Doolin for the Patrick's weekend. I won't be doing a video then because we've got a lot of Doolin videos up. So hopefully after Paddy's weekend, myself and Charlie will be out in the VW and out camping and get the videos coming up every Friday within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know what? The weather has just been absolutely miserable. Yeah. And it's just even hard to get motivated now to get out in the camper and kind of do stuff when it's just, everything is just damp and wet and miserable. But look, chin up. It's only going to get better from here on in. I'm sure of it.
Yes, it can only get better. Right. Speaking of, so we will do a couple of videos on troubleshooting your electrics and 12 volt electrics and stuff like that and a couple of water problems. But speaking of troubleshooting, and this is a good time of the year to discuss this, damp in the camper van.
Yeah, I'm going to start introducing, you know, maybe not every episode, but, you know, regular episodes of kind of deep dives. You know, we've spoken about kind of most issues that affect campers, and one of them is dampness. So just a few different options to help you kind of maintain and prevent kind of dampness. So look, if you want to keep your caravan and motorhome damp free, you know, you really need to do that to extend its longevity and even your comfort. You know, there's some practical tips that you can do to prevent damp. But like, the main cause of damp is when the air inside the motorhome comes into contact with a cold surface, such as a window, a wall or ceiling. It cools down that air and the moisture in the air then condenses onto that surface. Like you'd often see some of the videos on YouTube, there's guys walking around with the temperature sensor and you can see where all the cold spots are, and effectively you want to try and kind of keep those areas warm, and the areas that mainly kind of are prone to collect that condensation are your windows, your walls and ceilings, and particularly the storage areas. Most people don't realise they have damp until they go emptying out a cabinet or looking under bed and they spot it in a corner. And, you know, so there's a couple of things you can do to prevent damp. And the first one there really is ventilation. So you want to try and ensure that there's a good airflow within your caravan or motorhome. You know, use it as much as you can throughout the year, even in the colder months. That's always the really good advice. And, you know, when you're near enough and nearby, open your roof and your windows regularly to let that airflow, proper ventilation. What I do kind of in my van as well is I open all the cabinets and the fridges and the bathroom and the cupboards, and even I prop up the under the seats and stuff and just leave it kind of open and let it breathe. You know, it's those deep hidden corners where the air is not moving. It's definitely going to collect some damp there.
Another thing which is good is if you get these antibacterial wipes, you know, the disinfectant wipes, and regularly clean and vacuum the interior. Even if you're not using the van, especially during the winter, wipe down the surfaces, including around the windows, the walls, the windows themselves, and make sure everything is properly cleaned and dry before you actually lock up your caravan or your motorhome. And like Chris said, pop up the cushions, open doors, and just keep the circulation. Now, I do know when I'm out in the yard, I actually turn the heating on every now and again with the windows open just to put a bit of warm air running through the van if I'm out in the shed for an hour or so.
Yeah, anything to kind of keep it dry. And, you know, we mentioned about kind of the cold areas, and one potential problem could be gaps in insulation. You know, so check your flooring, your walls to see if there's anywhere feel kind of colder than normal. There might be an area that isn't insulated, and you see a lot of self builds will go to great lengths to make sure that they're fully kind of insulated everywhere, and those cold areas are going to start collecting that moisture, and it's going to build up in those areas, which again is only going to lead to damp. So, you know, do a good inspection, particularly if it's a new camper or caravan.
And just going back to the cushions, if you have, like in your van, if you have a bunk up over the cab, pull the cushions back off the walls. People tend to think that just strip the bed and prop it up. But if you can pull that mattress off the walls, off the three walls up top, that will help as well. Dehumidifier, my AC unit has a built-in dehumidifier, which I switch on every now and again as well. But you can get portable ones. You hear of people using salt. You hear of people using cat litter. But a dehumidifier will really, really help remove the excess moisture, especially if you do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, I had one of the small Aldi Lidl ones there for a while. For a couple of years, I was running in the van, and I bought a decent portable one for home, for number one, for drying clothes, but number two, just to regularly air out the room. So now I'm kind of rotating it through all the different rooms of the house, you know, when I don't have clothes for drying and that. Because it's been so just bloody damp, but you can't really hang clothes outside anymore. So dehumidifier is a great way of kind of slowly drying the clothes. But it has a clothes drying setting, but it also has like a room drying setting. So at least one day a week now, I'm going to run that for the day inside the motorhome, again, just to drag any excess moisture out of the air.
Because it is going to be there. I mean, even doing all of this, there's still going to be moisture in the air, especially in Ireland. It's a given. So curtains. I know now during the summer, if you keep the blinds down, it'll keep the van cool. Equally, if you leave them open, you know, you can circulate the air and have a cool van. They recommend regularly use your terminal curtains and covers. So throw on your windscreen covers if you have them. Pull down the blinds and keep the van relatively cool. You know, but at the same time, we are saying open windows and doors. But if you can keep the blinds down, use your curtains in your motorhome and it's stored away. These curtains provide insulation and help regulate the temperature, preventing extreme heat or cold, which will affect the interior.
Yeah, we bought the exterior screen covers from our camper. We put it on regular enough when we're at home as well. And they when we're camping in those, we've very little condensation on the inside. You know, when you wake up with the interior ones, they tend to have a lot of condensation. Those ones that go over the outside definitely prevent a lot of condensation. So if we're more on, it's going to be parked up for a few weeks, I'll generally throw those on as well.
Yeah, they're absolutely brilliant. And, you know, there is a difference, and we've seen it on multimedia, and we've had the questions, which are the better, the outside ones or the inside ones? Now, for me and Charlie, the outside ones, because we've so many gadgets on the windscreen between dash cams and cameras. But I found in the olden days that you do get condensation with these sticky on ones that we had on the inside, compared to now, we never get condensation with the outside ones.
Like the internal ones are definitely useful if you're, say, doing a lot of wild camping and that. So you might want to park up. Obviously, if you need to get away from somewhere that, you know, that isn't safe or need to move quickly, obviously having to get out of the van and take off the covers is counterintuitive for camping not on campsites. So definitely they all have their advantages and disadvantages, you know.
And we mentioned, if you can avoid lengthy lockup periods, don't leave your motorhome or your caravan locked up for extended periods. I suppose it's more so motorhomes, regular use, even bringing it for a spin down to the shops. None of this just starting it up and putting the heating on for one. Bring it for a spin. That'll help circulate warm and cool air as well, and just keep the air circulated around the van.
Yeah, and finally, part of our deep dive, you know, avoid kind of drying clothes and wet things and boots and stuff like that inside the motorhome. Obviously, that's going to create excessive damp inside as well, particularly when you're not using it. You wouldn't be putting stuff in there to dry. Definitely not advisable, you know.
So if you have anything that we could add to that list, things that you do, tips that you find that work for you to keep the damp out of the van or your caravan, please do let us know. We'll give you the contact details in a couple of seconds. Let's wrap it up with camp life.
Yeah, just something light, I suppose, to end the podcast. And we always had a couple of different car games that we played with the kids, kind of on long journeys. And one of them was quite an interesting one. I'm just wondering if the listeners got car games. But the one we used to play now between ourselves and the kids is we used to give different colour cars a score. So like for a red car, you might get 1 point. For a yellow car, I think it was 10 points. And then we had a kind of special point then, like I think it was for a Lexus or a Jaguar. If you saw one of those, you get 100 points, but also everybody else loses all their points. Different weird kind of, you know, a couple of ringers in there that will frustrate everybody. But that was one of our games, just to, and then whoever spots the car first, they get the points, you know. So everyone had a colour. They pick the colour, but anyone could shout out then when they see like the yellow or the orange car or the Lexus or the Jaguar, the ones you wouldn't see very often, you know.
The only game we had as kids was I'll kill you.
What's that?
And my dad would say, if you don't shut up, I'll kill you. So we just sat in the car.
You ever played the yellow reg or the UK reg,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, did that one, yeah. You slapped your sister. And sometimes I slap my sister just for the knowledge of slapping my sister, yeah. Let us know if you have any, let's bring out the inner child.
I'd love to share a few different car games and suggestions for people, and you know, something a bit different from the usual I spy, like, you know.
Oh gosh, right, let us know if you can help any of our listeners out with their questions, if you've got any games that you play, if you've got anything that helps keep the dampness out of your van, please do get in touch. To get in touch, you need all of our contact details, and Chris has them.
Our webpage is thecampingcrew.ie. our email address is campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at The Camping Crew. Threads, we're at The Camping Crew Podcast. On Instagram, we're at The Camping Crew Podcast. In Facebook, you'll find us posting in all the good motorhome and camping groups when we publish episodes or when Aaron publishes videos. And we'd love to get emails from you with suggestions and things to talk about. And if you're brave enough to record an audio message, Aaron will make you sound like a total professional as well. You send him the audio, he'll fix it up. We'll put it out as a question or a review or something as well. We'd love to get that.
And don't forget, we have campsitereview.com. We have a forum there that's free, and always will be very, very active at the moment. You can join, and again, you can let us know, ask questions or review products or campsites. And our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CharlieAmirCampingVlog. Videos on Fridays, info videos on Wednesdays, and hopefully some big news coming our way in the next couple of weeks regarding a big trip. More about that later on. That is it, episode 193. We're looking for ideas what we're going to do for episode 200. We're still mulling around a few things. If you have any suggestions, if you'd like to join us for a live podcast or whatever, please do let us know. You have all the contact details. Again, the camping season is more or less kicking off very, very soon. If you see us on site, please do call over, say hi. From me, Aaron, take care.
Yeah, and if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and tell your camping friends all about us. Goodbye from me, Chris.
Well, that's it for another podcast from The Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.